Ultimate Trivia Podcast. Welcome to the Ultimate Trivia Podcast, the show where knowledge is power and laughter is our only reward. I am your host, Andy. We have the whole crew in the studio tonight, along with Pro-Am. We're going to talk to her first. What's up, Pro-Am?
Not too much. How's everybody doing?
All good. You ready to prove us wrong over and over and over again tonight?
My pleasure.
Awesome. Very good. We got Kelly in the corner.
Hey, Andy.
Kelly, I got a question for you.
I'm excited to hear this question.
What is your leftover pizza strategy?
Ooh. I got a couple.
Let's have them.
I mean, when I was younger, I used to just smash cold pizza.
Well,
I just open the box and just smash cold
pizza.
Still
an option, I assume.
Yes, it happened. It's happened recently. Obviously, you can go with microwave. But the my favorite thing to do is just set the oven to preheat for 350 bake and just set the pizzas in there, how many ever slices I want. Mm-hmm. And when the timer goes off, they're basically done. Nice, crisp, not soggy. Perfect.
You ever utilize like a
toaster
skillet
oven?
Or like a, no, that,
stove
like
top?
A saucepan. Yeah. Stovetop. Yeah.
No, I've never done that.
Never.
Mm-mm.
And Nick, you've done it?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
It's a game changer.
It does. It elevates.
Better than the oven?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Cause it, you know, it's that immediate contact on the crust. So it really crisps it up.
You cover it with the lid, throw an ice cube in there, and that's what adds that steam effect.
Doesn't make it
the bottom gets nice and crispy.
Yeah. Let's try that.
Nice work. All right. That was Nicholas, by the way.
I'll send you a video.
Did you freeze an ice cube of olive oil, maybe?
Oh, man. Oh,
that's not bad.
My mind.
Does olive oil freeze?
There you go.
Oh, yes. Sure.
Okay.
I don't know.
But anyway.
Eventually.
Nicholas.
Hey.
Hey, buddy. What's give us a podcast or a two or three that are impactful to you right now that you're paying attention to.
That are impactful? None.
Oh, really?
No.
That hasn't always been true. Okay, in your history.
None's ever been impactful if it comes to a podcast. No.
I used to listen to, like, nutrition, you know, back when you gave a
crap. Yeah, maybe. Not really. Okay. I would say I still listen to Rogan. There's a... I listen to it's a local radio show, the Rizzuto Show, which I listen as a podcast after they record it.
They do a lot of trivia on there, right?
They do. Yeah. They do. I may have taken a few ideas from them over the years.
Nah, all original, baby.
Doubt it. Other than that, I mean, besides that, there's this one small market one, the Ultimate Trivia Podcast. I listen to
that one
at least once a week.
Okay, good.
I listen to that one, too.
I don't know that Brian does.
No.
I've heard several.
Brian still doesn't even subscribe.
All right, Big B.
What's going on?
Ready for yours. I got one word. I just want you to run with it. Ready?
All right.
Salads.
Oh, salad bar.
Bar.
Love a good salad bar.
Okay.
Yes.
Salads come in many forms, and conjures up a chef salad or a garden salad. You got fruit salad. You got potato salad.
I definitely like one with some meat and cheese in it, let's be honest.
Come on. Yeah.
Yeah. But I do love a good salad bar, yeah.
Yeah.
Ruby Tuesdays, remember back in the day?
Oh, that was my wife and I went there every Friday.
Here in Muscoola, they used to have a good one.
Somehow you can make a salad bar seem unhealthy. Good job.
Yeah,
oh, there's nothing healthy about a salad when I'm done with it.
Sausage.
Yeah. A little ham in there, you know.
Doc.
Andy, I'm going to stop you right there.
Nope. You can't stop this power, baby. What do you got?
Well, I mean, I think the point of this whole exercise for the listeners to get to know us a little better.
Absolutely.
And if they want to get to know me a little better, then they should know that I in no way want to answer your question.
Well, that's a given. All right. Is there a wrong way to load a dishwasher? This is a loaded question, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
What is one thing when you open it and you're like, this is all wrong? What's the first thing that comes to mind? You see it and then you're like, no, I got to read it.
You got to space out the silverware.
Oh, nothing goes to the silverware drawer for me. I mean, my head doesn't go there is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Yeah, if they're all like bunched together towards the back or something, no, you got to space them out a little bit.
Learning something new.
There you go.
Very good. All right. Well, thank you for that. You've heard from the crew here. We've got a question of the week. Before we have Pro-Am throw that at us, we'd love it if you would send us some questions. There are tons of ways that you can reach out to us. Check the show notes, the website, the email, all of our individual Instagrams. We got proam.tutp if you want to get things directly to Pro-Am. People are writing episodes. Good times. You know, engage with us. And, you know, who knows? You might get yourself a t-shirt code before it's all said and done. Who's getting themselves a t-shirt code this week, Pro-Am?
This week, it is Jenny T. She emailed me at proam.tutp@gmail.com.
Cool.
Yes. And she wants to know, if you were forced to replace handshakes with another gesture, what would it be?
That's easy.
That's easy.
That's easy.
Okay.
So
fist bumps don't count. I'm eliminating fist bumps.
So the handshake... there's nothing wrong with the handshake, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But if you don't want to interact with people, and if you replace the handshake with my idea, which is the headbutt, people are going to be, you don't have to bump into somebody in small talk if you really don't want to. I mean, they're going to want to earn it. Like, you know, I go to the grocery store here in town, and a 2-minute shopping spree takes 30 minutes because you run into 25 people you know, and it's great, it's fine.
I hide.
But there's days you don't want to do that, and if you had the headbutt thing was a thing, at least amongst men, instead of shaking hands, we just headbutted. You're going to wave from a distance.
A lot more head.
Nobody's going to stop and talk.
Nods from a distance.
That's so mine is the headbutt.
Okay.
I got one, too, that I think that'll slow down a little bit of interactions. The kid and play.
Oh,
nice. Shaking hands. We're going to do the whole thing.
You want to lengthen the greening. I like that.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think that'll also turn people off. Like, I don't got time for that right now.
I
don't have time.
I mean, once you get over the age of about 60, 65, you're not going to be saying hi to anybody. Exactly. You know, you're going to just lose it, you know, crack a hip.
And that is the goal, right? Is that the goal?
Maybe.
Nick's goal, apparently.
Yeah. I like it.
There's one situation where you're allowed to slap another man's rear end. It's when you're telling them good game.
Scored a goal or hit a home run.
Good job. Good game, right?
You want to make that the constant?
That's the norm. That becomes the norm.
We're good, just smacking butts.
Good butt slap.
The more and more I question Andy, the more and more he answers these questions. You know?
My head originally went to the Bash Brothers forearm smash, which is way more manly than the good game. But
significantly.
Anyway, we're going to let you
stew on
that.
Oh, I like the good
that
game. That's good.
You would.
That's right.
Well, if that triggered anyone, just reach out to our HR department.
What you got, Doc?
I don't know. I'm thinking maybe like a bird call.
Nick's about to give a spit take to Brian. Yeah, I over don't
here. like Nick, if you're in the grocery store and you hear like a caw-caw on the other aisle, you're like, oh man, Tanya's here. only she would do the West Nile cuckoo bird.
That's funny. I have a buddy that I do that to every time. Buddy named T-Bird.
Yeah.
Every time I see him, I go, caw-caw.
Right. Yeah.
And he won't even know I'm saying anywhere. He'll hear me do that. And he's like, you see his head looking around? Kelly?
We're just a bunch of dumb animals, aren't we?
Can we have our own call? Much.
Like, that's everybody what I'm has saying.
And then
call.
You know. Oh, yeah.
It's like a new ringtone. A verbal ringtone.
Right.
Kelly gives them randomly already. Yeah. What do you got over there, K-Ray?
I just want a simple head nod as I'm walking by somebody, maybe a little Japanese bow. You know, just,
I like that.
Nice, quick. You don't have to say hi.
A little respect.
BS. Just, hey, what's up, man?
Small talk.
Yeah.
You got one, Andy?
He wants to slap butts.
Yeah, I'm good gaming, man.
I thought you were joking.
Yeah. Nope. I'm in. Get ready. I'm going to start implementing that on Thursdays.
Only good game of female friends.
Andy's slapping them like a World War II vet in the ass, and that guy just hauling off.
Headbutts him?
Just headbutty dude.
We had a greeting. He was construed.
Yeah. I say thank you when he headbutts me. It's a wonderful greeting.
Be cooler if you need the kid to play, though.
That'd be good. No, that is super fun. Thank you, Jenny, for submitting that question. We got a t-shirt code coming your way from our merch store, Warrior Logo Wear. They are our sponsor, of course, and they got a link in the show notes as well. So, all right, we are ready for trivia, I do believe.
Yeah.
Topic tonight, gentlemen, it has been, I just had the number. Hold on, I'm going to look it right back up. This is great radio. It has been 36 episodes since we have visited the food category.
Wow, that's okay.
How about that?
No complaints.
Nick's excited.
I'm very excited.
Happy about that.
That's good for Nick. Yeah.
So it's a broad topic, though, and it is just simply the sweet tooth. How do we satisfy a sweet tooth? What's the initial reaction?
That's my lesser of all food categories. Would be
I don't know.
Sure. But it's approachable, right? I mean, if we were doing...
I guess it depends if we're making it or eating it.
Touch of everything in this. It is a potpourri of... Just the general topic.
When I think sweet tooth, I generally go towards cupcakes.
Like more dessert, you're saying?
Desserty, then candy. But I guess that's a sweet tooth also is candy because
Orange juice. sweet.
Very much of a
anything that could satisfy a sweet tooth.
I wouldn't put it in that category, but I understand what you're saying.
There you go.
I don't never had the sweet tooth, I guess, really.
No,
never. It's more of a beer tooth.
Yeah. Oh, that's on brand. You know.
But
you got a new nickname.
Long in the tooth.
Beer tooth.
Old beer tooth over here.
I like that.
So this one is about the sugary side of life. Candy bars, carnival treats, elegant desserts, flaky pastries, frozen favorites, and even a drink or two. Some of these are everyday favorites and some are a little more refined. And a few come with facts that are oddly more layered than the desserts themselves. So settle in. Try not to get distracted thinking about the treats. And let's see who can find the sweet spot between knowing dessert and just devouring it.
So clever, right?
You know, yeah, you like that one? We know, but maybe we haven't done one in 30-something episodes because last time we did one, we said, hey, next time we do a food or drink episode, we're going to bring in samples. Did you do that?
That was literally the next thing I was going to address. Do you see any before you?
No. Maybe you're hiding them. It could be like a fun thing.
Still in the truck?
He's getting ready to surprise us. Wait.
They're in a cooler in the truck right now.
He's got them out there.
I wish I would have had time and resources to put it all together.
I mean, we can pause right now. You can run to the dollar store.
We could. Yeah. That is true. We could.
Wish we had like a producer to help out with stuff like that, Andy.
I don't know if she even
do. Do you have another sister or somebody at home that you could bring in to help out with the show?
She did not know the topic.
Fair enough.
Don't take that crap from them, Amy.
Don't worry.
All right. Anybody got a prediction?
I guess Nick, because I don't know what I'm doing. Scott.
Nick's not a sweets guy.
No.
In spite of his prowess for food.
Gee, if he asked how to make something, I figure out he might.
Didn't he once explain to us a better start.
I'm probably the favorite. I agree with that.
I think Nick's favorite.
Didn't you once propose to have dessert before dinner?
Yeah, well, we talked about Thanksgiving. I tried to explain, you know, get your blood sugar up, you know,
get
that up early, your insulin, and just keep it there. That way you don't have any falls.
No crashes.
You
know?
You want to keep it steady. Steady, high. High amount of insulin.
There's some cultures that do that. There's some cultures that do that.
Diabetic culture does that.
It's America.
America.
It's called America. Does.
Heck yeah.
Well, no.
All right, let's do it. It's time for the main event, our 10-question trivia game on the sweet tooth, and I will be your host. Here's how it works. I'll read the questions aloud. The guys will write their answers on their whiteboards, and when I say reveal, they have to show their answers. If they get it right, Nick's going to give them a point.
Yep.
And if they get it wrong, that is when the real fun begins. So let's see who ends up on top today. We do have a Cheers Beers, and this is a cool looking can, by the way. Voodoo Ranger, a Juice Force IPA. Wow.
Juice Force.
Juice Force.
Juice Force. Force. Juice Force.
Pro-Am, what do we have here?
Thank you, Andrew. Tonight's Buy the Crew Around is from Nick from St. Louis.
Oh, dope.
Yeah, Nick, we appreciate you supporting the crew and the show, and the guys are toasting you with their Voodoo Ranger Juice Force.
Juice Force. Thanks, Nick.
Smells good,
actually. An IPA.
All right, Juice Force on three.
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Juice Force.
Cheers.
Oh. Juice Force. I have to admit, for an IPA, which I'm typically not a fan, that's pretty darn good.
Not bad.
I agree.
Pretty tasty.
Good. Summer beer.
All right. Settle in, gentlemen. Grab your whiteboards. We have question number one. This ruby red syrup may look cherry, but traditional grenadine gets its flavor from the juice of what fruit?
Oh, for one.
Not the standard opening layup.
I would like to hear the question again.
The ruby red syrup may look cherry, but traditionally, grenadine gets its flavor from the juice of which fruit? Grenadine is one we all know. If you're thinking about the most popular one you see at the bar, a brand called Rose, that is mostly processed high fructose corn syrup. So that would not qualify. Grenadine comes from the concentrated juice of which fruit? And it's not cherry.
I took that.
Yeah. Nick would have had my head if I had the word in there.
Right.
And it was the answer.
It would have been awesome if it was cherry.
Oh.
Because cherry was in the question.
That made me really mad.
Scotty, you got an answer? I didn't see it right.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Everybody good?
Yep.
All right. See? Which fruit do we get grenadine, traditional grenadine from? Let's see the answer. We've got pomegranate from Nick and Scott, raspberry from Kelly, grapefruit from Brian. It's the pomegranate.
No way.
Well done. Heck yeah.
Straight up a guess.
Blew me away when I learned that. I would have never guessed.
Like, I was trying to even think of a bottle of it. And I feel like there was maybe a fruit on the front, but I felt that I did not think pomegranate.
Not at all. No, it would have never crossed my mind, I don't think.
It was between that and grapefruit.
Oh, okay.
I literally had no idea, obviously. Yeah.
I was just trying to think of the most reddish-colored fruit juice that there is.
Yeah.
And if not the cherry, then it's pomegranate, because usually strawberry juice is lighter in color.
Definitely. Yeah, guys, anybody enjoy a drink that has grenadine in it, even if it's just adding cherry to a Coke kind of deal?
No idea.
No.
I've had it before. It's
Tequila
okay.
Sunrise. The old Shirley Temples back in the day was Sprite.
Nice.
Yep.
Well, traditional grenadine is made from pomegranate juice, and its name comes from the French word grenade, meaning pomegranate. Although many modern commercial versions use artificial flavoring and coloring, the original syrup was tied directly to the fruit. It became a staple in sweet mixed drinks and non-alcoholic beverages because of its color, sweetness, and it does have a slight tartness. Can't say I've ever had it straight,
Me neither.
That tartness doesn't ever really come out.
Yeah.
All right. They're not all that hard, but most of them are.
Oh, wow.
So let's move on to question number two. Before it became one of the world's most recognizable candy bars, what chocolate-covered wafer treat was originally sold as Rhone Trees Chocolate Crisp? Before it became one of the world's most recognizable candy bars, what chocolate-covered wafer treat was originally sold as Rhone Trees Chocolate Crisp? Got a couple of busy boards, but Doc is lost in the brain right now.
Yeah.
Just going through his catalog. Going
through my candy bar catalog. Can I run upstairs real quick?
It's extensive.
Three of four are done. Doc, we're going to
put the
screws to you a little here. Before it became one of the world's most recognizable candy bars, what chocolate-covered wafer treat was originally sold as Rhone Trees Chocolate Crisp? Everybody ready?
Yep.
Let's see them. We got Kit Kat from Nick. We got a Crunch Bar from Scotty. Twix from Kelly. Kit Kat from Brian. The Kit Kats take it.
Nice.
Well done. The wafer. Was that what got it for
you? That's the only thing that got
it. The wafer is the only reason I had
almost
it.
Almost took that word out.
Does Twix have a wafer in it?
Just going to make it too random.
Does Twix have a wafer in it?
I think it's a cookie.
Is
I think that's what they advertise.
Cookie.
Right?
The wafer is the only reason I guess Kit Kat. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mitch Hedberg has a outstanding Kit Kat.
You get less candy bar.
They take the chocolate.
The imprintation.
That is a good, yeah.
He was so funny. Anybody's like top two or three candy bars, or is it just one of those Steady Eddie everybody likes?
That's one of the three that I get most often.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, very good.
I wouldn't say top three, but it's good.
Yeah.
For sure.
Never disappoint.
Nope.
Kit Kat was introduced by the British confectionery company Rhone Trees in the 1930s under the name Chocolate Crisp. The product was later renamed Kit Kat Chocolate Crisp and eventually just the Kit Kat. The bar's combination of crisp wafer layers and chocolate coating helped it become one of the most widely recognized candy bars in the world. Give me a break.
It stands alone. There's not really anything like it.
No,
that's a great point.
I had no idea that Kit Kat was English.
There's three other in the pack.
Good call.
I figured it was American. It sounds like an American creation.
Yeah.
No, I didn't remember that there was four. Like, I'm only used to seeing like the two twofers.
They do sell
little
singles.
Ones like the Halloween.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you.
In Japan, a little fun fact, Kit Kats became popular largely because it has a similar sound to the phrase good luck. In that language.
Kit Kat.
Japanese. There you go. There you go. All right. Moving on to question number three. What sweet carbonated soft drink is traditionally flavored with plant extracts such as sassafras, wintergreen, or sarsaparilla? We're in the soft drink category. What sweet carbonated, Okay, that changes the category a little. Soft drink is traditionally flavored with plant extracts, such as sassafras, wintergreen, or sarsaparilla.
You know this, Nick?
I would go 99.9 on this one.
Nice.
Got to leave some room for error.
No idea.
It has to be this.
Okay. I can't wait till he's wrong.
That'd be great.
Great. That would be great.
It's always a good time. Nick, yeah. It's because you're such a good sport about it.
Yeah. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
I play my role.
Yeah, you do. All right. Kelly has got an answer, or is he thinking?
I got an answer.
He got an answer. Very good. What sweet carbonated soft drink is traditionally flavored with plant extracts from the sassafras, wintergreen, or sarsaparilla plants? Let's see the board. We got root beer from Nick, ginger ale from Scott, cream soda from Kelly, ginger ale from Brian. It's the root beer. Nick is on fire, baby. That's right. The original question, ironically, said the roots of sassafras.
I would have lit you up for that. I would have lit you up.
It would have been a fight.
Even though the context is
headbutts
slightly different.
Yeah.
Root beer fans?
I am.
Not. I feel like it's real divisive.
Just
right?
Okay.
Oh, you're in the middle on it.
No, I can drink it, but I'm not a fan. I wouldn't order it. If someone gave it to me, I'll have one.
I'm the same.
What if it's in float form?
That does not
change it for
me.
Probably less. That's too sweet for me.
St. Louis, there is a diner called Carl's Diner. It's legendary.
Is it a C or a K?
I believe it's a C.
That's a great question.
Okay. They have it on tap, and they serve it in like a frosty mug.
Yeah.
Super clutch.
Yeah.
We'll have to take a field trip over there. Well, root beer is a sweet carbonated beverage developed in North America and traditionally flavored with extracts from the roots, bark, and herbs. Early versions often use sassafras, wintergreen, and sarsaparilla to create the distinctive taste. And although modern formulas widely vary by brand, root beer remains known for its herbal flavor profile and its long-standing place in American food and drink culture. A whole frickin' restaurant named after it, right? I mean,
yeah, A&W.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Is there any alcoholic drinks that incorporate root beer in it?
I feel like there is.
I would assume, but I don't know. Yeah, it's a good question.
Isn't there a schnapps?
I don't know.
Root beer schnapps, yeah.
I don't know. It's a fun word.
Like
though,
a cocktail
it?
With a root beer mixed in with a liquor.
Not that I can think of off the top of my head. I'm sure there are.
I'm surprised it is not, but yeah.
I think there is a liquor combination that turns out to taste a lot like root beer, but
yes.
I can't even remember what that is now.
Schnapps.
Yeah.
One word.
Schnapps. Because people like to say salsa. Moving on to question number 4. This one has 2 answers. You know what? I'm going to make the second answer a bonus point. I could make it worth a billion bonus points.
Change it as we go.
Okay. But it does technically have 2 names. So I'll give you a point for each.
Okay.
No, scratch that. It will be a bonus point. You do have to get the base name correct. Part dessert, part magic trick. This delicious showstopper layers ice cream with sponge cake and meringue before a quick blast of heat. Name it. I'm going to let this just hang out here a minute.
Describe it one more time, please.
You got it. Part dessert, part magic trick. This delicious showstopper layers ice cream with sponge cake and meringue before a quick blast of heat. What is it? What's up, B? You got it?
I don't know the spelling.
I know what you're talking about, but I can't come up. No. Yeah, I got you, though. Yeah. Dang it. Sorry, Jordan. I know he hates when I do that.
Does he?
If you're listening, Jordan.
No, he doesn't hate it. He just likes to make fun of you for it.
Oh.
Two different things.
Different.
He enjoys it.
That is right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's like, keep
there you
doing
go, Jordan.
So
did it again. You're welcome.
All right. Scotty's deep in thought. Everybody else looks like they're ready. But BQ, you got something on your board there, bud?
No, I don't.
No.
I can't.
Coming up with a name.
I can't come up with it.
Say it all again one more time.
Yeah, one more time.
All right. Part dessert, part magic trick. This delicious showstopper layers ice cream with sponge cake and meringue before a quick blast of heat.
I got nothing.
Yeah.
I can't
get there.
I can't come up with it.
Yeah, I can't get there.
Do you feel like you guys know it, but you can't figure out the name of it?
I can see it happening in the restaurant when they do it. I just can't think of the name.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, whoever's ready, let's reveal our answers. We got creme brulee from Nick, Cherries Jubilee from Scott, creme brulee from Kelly, and Brian Abstain. We do not have a correct answer in the room.
That's not, yeah.
It is the baked Alaska.
Yeah.
And Scott.
That's what you're thinking?
Yeah.
Had that before?
Yes. Yeah.
You had baked Alaska. I have not had it.
Yeah. Never even heard of it.
Yes,
I've heard of it.
I have.
No, I haven't.
Yes, you have.
Pro Am tells me otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody want? You're never going to get it. You want to take a stab at what they call it in Scandinavia?
The big Scandinavia.
Yeah, I mean, no, it's called the Norwegian omelet. So I'd have given you a point if you'd have got it right and come up with that second.
That's a cool name.
Dessert, right?
Yeah, pretty cool.
So the Baked Alaska combines cake, ice cream, and meringue in a dessert that briefly goes into a very, very hot oven. The key is the meringue, which acts as insulation and slows the melting of the ice cream inside. The dessert becomes especially popular in the United States during the late 19th century and is often associated with formal or celebratory dining. The reason it's called that is because it was about the same time that Alaska became a state.
So
just associated the two.
Real quick, not what I was thinking. So what is it, the one they bring out where they light it?
I hope they don't give that answer later. That's Bananas, Foster.
Or Cherry's Jubilee.
Both.
They light it.
So in my head, I was thinking, when they light it in the restaurant. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. But when he said the hot oven, I'm like, wait, that's not it. Okay.
When did I have a Baked Alaska Pro-Am?
Our stepmom's grandmother used to make it for us when we were pretty little. You might not remember.
It was absolutely that from my memory. Delicious. Very good. Shout out to former stepmother, Kathy.
I was hung up on, you had two kind of celebratory words in your question. I was trying to think of, I got hung up on.
There was a pun in there with that?
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Carnival and then some other.
Pure part magic. Dessert, part magic trick.
Magic trick.
Mm-hmm. Delicious. Showstopper.
Showstopper.
Yeah, something circusy maybe.
Yeah, I was trying to.
I gotcha. All right, well, good. I properly distracted you with those fluffy words then. So let's move on to question number 5. Crack the top and cue the fancy spoon. What French dessert is finished with a thin, crisp shell of caramelized sugar over the custard base? I will technically accept two answers. No bonus point here. The second one is a variety.
Read it one more time.
You betcha. We're going to crack the top and cue the fancy spoon. What French dessert is finished with a thin, crisp shell of caramelized sugar over custard? That came off loud. Yeah, I need to stop drinking ice, I guess.
I don't think you drink the ice, do you?
Can't drink
ice. It depends. If it's small enough, it'll slide down the gullet.
Swallowing ice.
The gullet.
Swallowing. You don't drink it. You can't drink ice. It's solid.
I'm going to try. We'll figure it out. Crack the top. Cue the fancy spoon. What French dessert is finished with a thin, crisp shell of caramelized sugar over custard? Kelly is finalizing.
I hate trivia.
I appreciate you for the love of the game. All right. Let's see those answers. We got creme brulee from Nick and Scott. From Kelly. Dang it. And the Napoleon. That's a good answer, actually, but incorrect as creme brulee takes it. Kelly's quitting the show.
I was trying not to make eye contact with Kelly because I'm
me
like,
neither.
Just leave it on your board.
I was too just rest trying up. To think of something in focused, looking down. That is,
man, I so badly wanted to address that, obviously, in the last question. Oh, well. So creme brulee is the correct answer. Crema catalana is how they say it in Spain. And it is a slight variation, but it would have been acceptable for what I described there.
Hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
Creme brulee.
I was thinking, what do they call that in Spain?
Yeah, I figured that was right on the tip of your tongue. It's a custard dessert topped with a thin layer of sugar that is caramelized into a brittle crust. Its name means burnt cream in French. The contrast between the crisp sugar top and the smooth custard underneath is the dessert's defined feature. It is often associated with French cuisine, though similar custard desserts appear in other culinary traditions as well, such as Spain, for example. Cool. Well, there is so much energy to be had here. Nicholas is just reveling so far, and he's going to deliver a score as soon as we hear from our sponsors.
All right, so after 5, going from worst to first, The only guy at the table that's not pre-diabetic right now has a zero.
Cadbury egg over there.
It's both a good thing and a bad thing.
What a great way to introduce that.
Hey, wait a minute, Nick. I'm fully diabetic.
That's why you're in second, Scott. Brian's got one. Scott, you have two, and I have four.
Guys, I'm going to need you guys to pick it up because this is my favorite tiebreaker I have ever written. So we're going to
need we can do it anyway.
Yeah, we will anyway. All right, here we go with question number six. What fried treat of Spanish origin is made from piped dough and commonly rolled in cinnamon and sugar? Oh, Kelly's excited. He might be on the board. What fried treat? There is a bonus point at the end, too.
What? At the end of the whole trivia or at the end of this question?
Number 10.
Okay. I'm coming for you, Nick.
Yes.
You'll be lenient on spelling, I hope.
I will indeed. What fried treat of Spanish origin is made from piped dough and commonly rolled in cinnamon and sugar? Everybody ready?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see the answer. We got a churro from Nick, a sopapilla from Scotty, churro from Kelly, and from Brian. Scotty.
Way off.
Way off, baby. That is not piped in any way.
Samsonite.
It is the churro.
Nice. Oh. Churros. Get your churros.
Pipe. Shape.
Yeah,
got
the
it.
Shape is the
right, you're a churro? Part.
Yeah.
Good you job.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Taco Bell.
Yeah. I was afraid you'd be like, what are those things at Taco Bell called?
That's right.
What are they called? Cinnamon twists?
Those are.
Yeah. They're called chili cheese burritos. And they're delicious.
That would have been hilarious if you would have put down cinnamon twists. Like, that's not wrong.
You
misspelled
chili cheese burrito.
The Spanish name, anybody know? I would have accepted that as well.
It's still chili cheese burrito.
It's not churro?
It's universal. Not.
What is it?
Porro, P-O-R-R-O. Oh,
porro.
Porro.
Yep. So the churro is a fried pastry of Spanish origin made from a flour-based dough that is piped into hot oil. Its rigid shape comes from the star-shaped piping tip used before frying. Churros are commonly coated in sugar, often with cinnamon, and are served plain or with a dipping sauce such as chocolate or cream cheese icing. They are very popular in Spain, Latin America, and many fair and street food settings. It is one of the most common things you see in the Disney parks, too, I found.
Yeah, it's true.
All over the place. Yeah, they're easy to walk with, I guess.
Who? Yeah, yeah.
And who doesn't want a nice, fresh, hot churro when it's 1,000 degrees outside? Right.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, moving on to question number seven. Kelly's on the board. The offer is off the table.
My work here is done.
There you go. Number seven. I need both names. For M&M, the candy-coated and cleverly named M&M gets its initials from two surnames. I need both of them. This candy-coated and cleverly named treat, M&M's, gets its initials from two surnames. What do the two M's stand for? Anybody know this confidently?
Nope,
I feel like
no.
We've faced this question.
I feel like I've heard it
a dozen times. Yeah,
yeah.
I know this, but completely blank.
Most of you will have one, I suspect.
Okay.
And the other one would have been news to me, even though we've had this before.
Gotcha.
Brian's finishing up.
Yeah, I'm making three words, too, because I have no idea.
Okay. I like it.
Okay. We'll just take as many of the
right
ones.
Better than abstaining, right? You know, just
I completely
there.
Agree.
Throw just put it out there.
I'm pretty sure his answer is like Hershey and Reese.
Cadbury.
Cadbury.
M&M. All right. What do the M&M's stand for? Let's see some boards.
Hang on.
Oh, hold on. Keep yours where you are. Brian is a right. We know that already.
Yeah, we know. Oh,
malted
thanks.
Milk chocolate is. That's a good answer, actually. Kelly's still working on it. Now he's ready. Let's see it, Kelly. We got Marshall Mathers. I like it.
Tell me I'm not wrong.
I can't tell you you're not wrong. Mars and Marshall and Mitchell and Mars. Mars is the correct answer, but it's Murray is the other one.
Okay. I knew it started with an M.
Yeah.
I knew it.
Is that a 1-2-pointer or just,
I was so confident.
Just a 1-pointer if you got both names?
You got to get both no matter what.
Yeah, since the Mars is one that comes to mind usually pretty quickly.
Right.
You know, a popular brand name.
So the names are Forrest Mars and Bruce Murray, M-U-R-R-I-E, whose surnames supplied the two letters. Mars is associated with the Mars Company, while Murray is the son of a Hershey executive. Their partnership helped launch the candy in the early 1940s, and the hard candy shell made the chocolate easier to transport and handle, more so than any other chocolate products. Melts in your mouth, not in your hand. It's a little bit of a fallacy.
Beg to differ. Yeah.
They're not holding it right.
If you've ever had kids that enjoy M&Ms in their car seats, you know that's false.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If it's over 80 degrees, it's getting on your hand.
For sure.
Yes.
Yeah. For sure. All right. So that was question number 7. Moving on now to question number 8. Baklava. Anybody had it?
Yes. Love it.
Love it.
That doesn't mean I know anything further than that.
Fair enough. Baklava earns its flaky reputation from layer after layer of what paper-thin dough? What is the dough called?
Dough.
That is one name for it.
Like Kelly said, prove me wrong.
We are. Baklava. That is delicious. Earns its flaky reputation from layer after layer of what paper thin dough? It's not the only place you find this dough. Can be savory, can be sweet.
Mm-hmm. What does it start with?
A letter. Actually, there's multiple spellings. That's the most hint you're going to get from me.
Oh, come on.
That's the best hint you're going to get.
I'm not going to get there.
The word I'm thinking of, how it ends, I'm not sure which.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm curious where that's going.
Yeah.
Hear that story in a minute. Oh. Scotty?
I don't know the answer, so I wrote down my name if I was a rapper.
Okay, I appreciate that. There is.
So did I.
Can't wait. No,
it might be the same. Okay. You never know.
Yeah, it's true.
Brian, no clue. You got a good answer?
Yeah, hip hop.
You got an answer? Yeah, okay. That's just going to become a thing. Kelly, you ready for us?
Sure.
Baklava earns its flaky reputation from layer after layer of what paper thin dough? Let's see the questions. We got phyllo dough from Nick, cracker dough from Scotty. That is really funny, by the way. I'm not sure what you got there, my man.
It's a P with four other letters.
Potential letters and Vanilla Crisp. Okay, another wonderful rapper name. It is, in fact, Philo Dough.
Philo.
Or Philo. Okay. F-I-L-O is the American, more colloquial version. It's P-H-Y-L-L-O is the formal version.
Fat, pretty hot and tempting?
Yes.
There you go. Yeah. Nice work, Nick.
Thanks, man.
That's good. My earliest exposure to this, you remember Olga's in the old mall? Yes. I don't know. Was that a chain?
Yes.
Oh, yeah,
they did,
was, yes.
They did a spinach pie in Philo. Oh, baby. Really good. That's delicious.
Really good.
Yeah. Nick looks disgusted.
Spinach pie? I've had it. It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Most pie is.
Yeah, it's hard to find.
Not a lot of bad pie out there.
You done the English meat pie or fish pie?
Oh, preferred. I like a savory pie. For sure.
You thought take either one of those.
What's in a shepherd's pie?
Minced meat.
Yeah.
My mouth.
Peas and carrots.
Veggies, and then top with the mashed potatoes.
Mm-hmm. The Long Island iced tea of time.
I make it a lot, actually, quite often.
So, I mean, a little bit like a frozen pot pie, but put some mashed potatoes on there is basically what you're saying.
Tastes like a what?
Like a frozen, like a pot pie, but you're saying put some mashed potatoes, basically?
Not really a pot pie. I think more like a meatloaf that has the mashed potatoes on top.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you bake it so the mashed potatoes get like crunchy almost.
Yeah, you actually take a fork and you make these little peaks so they brown.
Yeah.
Traditional shepherd's pie is made with lamb.
That's correct.
Oh.
What's a non-lamb based one called? Do you know that one?
I don't know that it has a
meat pie?
Cottage pie.
There it is.
Look at that knowledge. Love
so
that.
Much knowledge.
Have to save that for peasant food later.
I should give you my hat.
No more food categories.
A baklava is made with multiple layers of phyllo dough, a very thin pastry used in several Mediterranean and Middle Eastern desserts and savory dishes. These sheets are layered with fat, usually butter, and combined with chopped nuts and syrup or honey. Philo's thin structure allows it to bake into a crisp, flaky texture that defines baklava. Not terribly different than like puff pastry.
Yeah.
Really?
Just much thinner.
Yeah.
Yeah. No puff.
No puff. That is a perfect segue into our score check.
All right.
No puff.
After 8, Kelly, you're on the board. You got 1.
I'm happy.
Brian and Scott, you got 2. Yeah. You guys are tied for 2nd. And I'm in the lead with 6.
I guess Nick's running away with this one.
I mean, the last one is unofficially worth 2.
Doesn't matter.
But yeah, it really doesn't matter at this point. So, man, that surprised me.
How can it be unofficially worth 2?
Because I'm going to make it worth 2, even though it was going to be a bonus question.
So it's official.
Yeah, okay. Now it's official. Okay.
That's right. All right. Moving on to question number 9. What smooth, dairy-free frozen dessert made from fruit puree or juice is often served as a palate cleanser between courses? Let me go again. What smooth, dairy-free frozen dessert made from fruit puree or juice is often served as a palate cleanser between courses?
Where's the bonus or the whatever you said for this one?
That's for the number 10.
Next one.
Okay. There's a lot of alliteration in there.
Okay. Does that throw you off?
No.
Which one? Frozen?
Just the question. There's a lot of peas in there.
Peas, purees. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Palate. It's only 2.
Okay.
Or 3. No, 2.
What happened? He blacked out.
Yeah. I quit listening.
That's right. Yeah. You lose some of the passion when you've been eliminated. All right. One more time.
Yes, please.
What smooth, dairy-free frozen dessert made from fruit puree or juice is often served as a palate cleanser between courses?
Nick knows and none of us do.
Yeah. Okay.
The short version.
I am... potentially, depending on how you spell it, or should I say misspell it, I may ask you to pronounce it.
Not an issue on mine.
Slight. Okay. That's a slight hint, actually. Just nothing.
I can't come in. Okay. Nothing.
BQ, anything?
Nick. I think I do, yeah.
Man, Nick is running.
Here, I'll pronounce
it.
I
got it.
Okay.
Can you pronounce it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think I spelled it right, even.
Well, let's see Nick and Brian's boards, or Kelly, or excuse me, whatever. Doc, you got something.
That's brilliant, right?
Yeah.
What do we got over here for BQ? Nick's answer, that's right. Jello from Scotty and
sorbet.
Sorbet is the correct answer, not to be confused with sherbet, which is dairy full.
I mean, this would have a point. Free. That's brilliant.
Nice. Thank you.
Did not know it was used to cleanse palate.
Yeah, commonly between, when you have a 5 or 6 course.
Is it a sorbet like a yogurt-ish consistency?
No, I think more like if you took a bag of frozen fruit and throw it in a blender.
Okay.
And free.
And then when it softens up enough, then that's sorbet.
And you drink it.
It's like
a spoon.
But like sherbet.
Okay.
It's the same consistency softer than sherbet. As a ice cream or a sherbet.
Yeah. A little more ice.
I've
crystal-like,
heard of it.
Yeah. More than sherbet, more, less creamy, but also, yeah, it's like, seriously, just a bunch of blended up fruit. Yeah.
Italian ice consistency.
Similar. Although that typically has a little
creamier than
gelato.
That.
Mm-hmm.
No, not that cream.
Definitely not gelato. No, and it's a common ice cream replacement for people who are dairy intolerant.
Gotcha. Mm. Lactose.
There you go.
So you have a point. That's brilliant.
Sorbet is a smooth frozen dessert made from fruit juice or fruit puree, sugar, and water. Because it contains no dairy, it has a lighter texture and is more direct fruit flavor than many other frozen desserts. It is commonly served as both a dessert or a palate cleanser, especially in formal multi-course meals. There you go. We are just about done. I like this question very much. It is officially worth 2 points, so you got an option there. Number 10. This fairground favorite was invented in 1897 by an unlikely duo, a dentist and a confectioner, and was made popular at the 1904 World's Fair under a different name. Uh-oh. What sweet treat are we talking about? And for the bonus point, what was the original name? So, in my question, I meant for it to be a bonus point, but you can answer either one. This is worth 2 points officially, since it doesn't matter anyway.
Make some room here.
There you go. All right. Deep thought. The big important parts. This is a fairground favorite. It was invented in 1897 by an unlikely duo, a dentist and a confectioner. And it was made popular in 1904. At the World's Fair. So much happened at the 1904 World's Fair.
That's what's confusing me right now.
So much happened. And it was released originally under a different name. So we want to know what the today's name is the popular name. And for another point, you can tell me what it was released under. Dentist and a confectioner. That is, to me at least, the defining characteristic.
Seems like they were in cahoots.
It seems
so. Can you read it one more time?
Working out a business plan there a little bit.
It's like Big Farm. And
yeah, that's right. This fairground favorite was invented in 1897 by an unlikely duo, a dentist and a confectioner, and was popularized in the 1904 World's Fair under a different name. Point for each name.
It doesn't matter. I'm losing anyway, so I'm going to go. Yeah. I think I'm wrong. But
okay. Scotty, you got two names down?
I do.
Okay. Kelly, ready? There we go. Let's see it. We got a funnel cake from Nick and a beignet.
Well, I didn't cross out beignets. I went elephant ear.
Gotcha. We got cotton candy and puffed sugar from Scotty, funnel cake from Kelly, funnel cake and elephant ears from Brian. Cotton candy is the official correct answer.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
And it was released under the name Fairy Floss, which I think is awesome.
Ah, the dentist.
That's right. Fairy Floss. Fairy Floss. 1 point for the doc.
That away.
So the other one, I was debating between what they put, funnel cakes.
Funnel cake.
Yeah. I wanted to do waffle cone.
Yeah,
the 1904 World's Fair, yes. Right? Waffle cones, obviously.
The other descriptions.
Hot dog. I mean, there's so much that went down.
Ice cream cone.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, really. Well, cotton candy was invented by dentist William Morrison and confectioner John C. Wharton. It was originally called Fairy Floss and gained widespread attention at the 1904 World's Fair. The treat is made by melting sugar and spinning it through tiny openings where it cools into thin strands that collects into a light, airy mass. It's mostly air, so it has, typically, it has more sugar than even most candy bars. Excuse me, has less sugar than even most candy bars.
That's a very neat treat. Like, how did they figure that out? I want to know.
That's a good question.
Right.
That's a good question. A
couple of weirdos, if you ask me.
I'm telling you.
I mean, how do you get that job? Just make fool around, try to make up candy.
Spinning, yeah.
Remember a road trip? Road trip to Kentucky. It was me and my mother and my two daughters when they were younger. And one of them's like, I told them we're going to stop at a convenience store, go to the bathroom, whatever. One of them's like, I want cotton candy. Like, they don't usually have cotton candy at convenience stores. And I mean, as soon as he walked in right there, cotton candy. I'm like, all right.
Boom.
Like, just crazy. Like,
nothing like bouncing off the walls during a road trip, right?
Like, what cotton candy? Never seen it at a convenience store until that day.
All right. Do we want tiebreaker or do we need to award the victor first?
Yeah, let's go and
get Nicholas.
It's your call, man. We already know who won.
That we do.
Getting cocky about it.
Yeah. All right, kind of ran away with it, Brian.
Go ahead and give us congratulations. Final score. We'll give you your stupid applause and
final,
we'll my awesome
final score. Kelly, you ended up with one.
What? Just one?
Yeah. Brian, you got 2.1 because you did answer one question with Nick's answer, and that was the smartest thing you've done all night.
I appreciate that.
Scotty,
you got some love on that. Thank you.
You ended with cotton candy.
Tootsie Roll.
You did well. Yeah, I was thinking of your high school nickname. Sorry.
Hey-o.
You ended with 3 after you won on the. You just got the cotton candy one correct, and then finally I had 7.
You did great, Nick.
Thanks.
And so that gives a victory to Nicholas.
He's acting like he's never won before.
Bravo.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Good stuff, Nick.
Act like you've been there before.
I hate that.
Appreciate the 0.1.
Yeah. You earned it.
Yeah, well, when you pander to the scorekeeper, that usually works in your favor.
Oh, no, it's just a smart move. He was winning.
That's right. All right, here's a tiebreaker. About 5 hours ago, this is 100% true, 5 hours ago, I arranged to have 5 dozen original glazed Krispy Kreme donuts delivered to this studio where we are right now. I did not send the order through.
What? Why not?
I know. You're
sorry. Disappointing.
Well, you're going to find out in a minute why I didn't do it.
Okay.
Including the cost of donuts, tax, a 20% tip, and the delivery fee. What's the final bill for 5 dozen glazed donuts?
5 dozen?
Mm-hmm. From Krispy Kreme.
You know how many that is, Brian? Give me that in donuts.
Yeah. I like to use the saying, I bet you dollars to donuts, because that is typically putting yourself at the disadvantage. That's not true anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. 5 dozen donuts.
5 dozen. We have the cost of the donuts themselves.
Yes.
Tax.
Built off of the dozen. So we're not buying any.
Are these Krispy Kreme donuts?
Krispy Kreme original glaze, specifically.
My favorite donut, by the way.
20% tip. Tax.
It's really
and
boring.
The delivery
it's
fee.
Really boring, Kelly.
I'm I can't do math when I'm angry.
Are you mad because I canceled the order?
The thought that I could be eating a Krispy Kreme donut right now.
Well, when you hear the answer, you'll understand why I didn't hit send on that one.
Have your kids skip a meal this week.
They don't need that many. Just cut it down like a dozen or two. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Hold on. Still doing math.
Yeah. Each get
That's
two.
That's fine. That's fine.
Jeez.
I was expecting a rap at the door. Like, donuts!
Now, wouldn't that be timed perfectly if I could have lined that up?
Hold on, I got a question. I got a serious question. Do you tip pre-tax or post-tax?
The tip would be pre-tax.
Okay.
Correct.
Yeah.
Good question.
Yeah, that is a good question.
I mean, you should always tip pre-tax.
The tip was included in what I was doing online.
Nick doesn't like this at all.
No. You don't tip pre-tax?
He doesn't.
I always take my bill total and I just multiply that times 20. That's what I do.
I look at the pre-tax total.
You multiply your bill total times 20?
That's the way hard way to do it.
No, 20. You do 10%. You move the decimal place over.
I always do tax times 2 and round up.
Tax times 2.
Yeah, that's why.
That's too low.
Don't do it.
Being too little.
Oh,
sales because tax is like 7%. No, wait. It's like 7 or 8%.
You're wrong.
This is the oldest man conversation we've ever had.
Just go. Let's go. Let's be done with this.
Pre-tax.
All right. Yeah, Kelly, you got your math computated over there? All right.
It doesn't even count for anything.
Yeah, it doesn't count.
Way too much time.
Exactly. I just threw something down. Yeah,
he got last.
I might hold my board to the back. Who cares?
We got $86 from Brian. $33?
$33?
Five dozen?
I think he would have done it.
I mean, you could put a one in front of that.
He would have done that.
$134.58 from Scotty. $89.12. Scotty would take this one. It was $114.57.
Okay. All right.
Before it was all said and done.
I thought donuts were cheaper than that.
Yeah, no, that's
I was thinking 20 bucks a dozen.
Yeah, where I think it would worked out to about 17, okay. If I recall.
I've never bought more than one at a time, so.
Right.
Yeah, all right. Well, there you go. All right, and I just want to close out. Obviously, we all have some experience with
skinny
the
people.
We tend to lean one way or another in terms of whether we like chocolate more or something more in the fruity style category, cake over pie or brownies. Where do you go? What's like the, if you could just really pick one sweet category that you had to live with the rest of your life?
I can't pick one. I'm all over the place.
Are you?
I got to have some Reese's peanut butter cups. I got to have some Sour Patch Kids.
Those are opposites.
Yeah. I like Twix. I like Kit Kats.
Swedish Fish.
No.
Gummy Lifesavers.
I'm just going to rattle off. I can do them. Yeah.
Yeah. Brian, where do you fall on that cat?
If I can only go one, I'm going the old Long John with the cream filling.
Oh, that's clutch. Wood Bakery is a local bakery that makes the best one I've ever had.
Yeah.
No question. Nicholas, you're not a sweets guy, but that strikes the mood once in a while.
I'd go cookie.
Yeah,
because there's a lot of variety in the cookie.
I give you cookie, you give me cookie.
Great scene. You give me cookie.
I give you cookie, you give me cookie.
But the cookie, it's versatile. Yeah,
do you have a favorite cookie?
I'm a chocolate chip to start with.
Chocolate chip.
Start there.
Doc, how you feeling about it?
Going ice cream, kind of sundae, hot fudge sundae.
Oh, yeah. Fudge, can't wrong fudge.
Yeah. Potpourri of... flavors, maybe some Neapolitan ice cream. Getting hungry right now.
Oh, crazy. Look at this guy.
Yeah. No. I live
Could
squarely,
be eating a donut right now.
I live squarely in the cheesecake realm. That would be my
love cheesecake.
One and only
go-to. That's good.
All the
variety. That's solid.
Yep. How about you, Pro-Am? Where do you live with the sweets?
I do love a good piece of cold cake.
Just straight, like birthday cake or wedding cake or something?
Any of the above will do. It's the cold part.
I'm with her on that.
Desserts
are meant to be cold. I'm with you.
Regularly pass on cake and sugar cookies. They are not worth the calories to me. Anyway.
More for me.
I'm not a cake guy.
Yeah, good thing we celebrate holidays together, I guess. All right. Congratulations, Nicholas.
Yeah.
Kelly? You got some studying to do in the sugar category.
I gotta start watching whatever channels have cooking shit.
There you go. All right, that's gonna do it for this episode of the Ultimate Trivia Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe, leave us a review, check us out. Go ahead and send us a donation there if you want to buy us a round. We'll give you a shout out. We'll see you next time with more trivia and more fun. Until then, keep your brain sharp and those bellies laughing.
Nom 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 nom.
Hey, trivia fans. We're excited to partner with Warrior Logo Wear, a veteran-owned company bringing you exclusive Ultimate Trivia Podcast apparel. No minimum orders, just high-quality gear so you can rep your love for trivia and style. You can shop now at the Ultimate Trivia Podcast through a link on our website, or you can customize your own clothing at www.warriorlogowear.com.